Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in the Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in the Cell Radio!
Good evening, Dan. Good evening, everyone. It's episode 30. And my goodness, they're actually more than 30, but episode, the official count is episode 30. So how's that?
Well, you know what? We'll just go with it. God only knows what's going to happen tonight, so we'll just go with it.
That's true. I'm in a mood tonight. I'll just say that much.
You have a right to be.
I'm not sure if I'm going to get into it or not.
No, I think we should leave it till we find out what's going on. Let's just say the crap has hit the fan and people are now making up stories. And I always say, if somebody's not mad at you, you're not doing something right.
You know, but there's a line. We were saying this off air, Dan.
Yes.
There's a line and it's been crossed.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about it. Who knows?
No, you're absolutely right. There is a line between messing with somebody and messing with a livelihood, and you're kind of – I step that line all the time. There's a line that I step over all the time, but it's the joke line.
I agree. But
I've never done – if this is a practical joke, it's not funny, and I think everything's funny. That's not funny.
Well, very well put. If you would like to follow me and find out more about the story, because we are being rather vague, you can follow me at Twitter at Folsom County. Dan, where can the people follow you?
DanLaw83.
That's right, and we're early tonight. It's a special two-hour edition. That's really not being special much anymore, right, Dan? I mean, because we're doing this weekly now, it seems.
Hey, we might as well just go to 9 to 11.
You know what? Why not?
Yeah, we're going to an extra half hour.
If Raw can do it, we can do it. If anybody can pull it off, it's us.
Well, we're not as boring.
Well, that's true. So what do we have tonight, Dan? Tonight we're going to start the show off with Mia Yim. She's actually on hold right now, so we're going to start off with Mia Yim. This could very well be her last interview for a podcast on American soil.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so it's...
Well, then we're honored.
I certainly am. So there's something going on there. We should have Breaker Morant.
Probably not.
An indie veteran who last week told me he couldn't make it. Hopefully tonight, Dan. Hopefully tonight we can get to him. But we'll find out. Then we're going to have fan mail with Robert Knight. That's always and the return of fan mail with Robert Knight.
Yeah, I just want to make a special shout out to those residents in Sewell, New Jersey tonight.
Someone's listening, Dan.
What's up?
I don't know who.
What's up to Sewell, baby? Anywho.
We will be joined by Omega Squad after fan mail to talk about UFC 152, and frankly, I have no idea what happened.
Hear Omega, instead of transforming into a Megtropolis, he now transforms into a little gun.
Wouldn't that be Megatron?
Yeah, but I didn't want to get sued.
Oh, well, Megatron, whatever. Fair use, Dan, fair use. Look it
fair,
up. We're fine.
Well, that's a fair point.
It is a fair point, Dan. We're also going to have Amadeus Thorne. He is going to tell us all about that Beast Charity Show in the honor of Chris Dragoni. That's coming on at 10:30. So we have a full show, as long as everything works out the way it should. But without further ado, I'm going to bring on Mia Yim. So Mia, welcome to the show. You're on with Dan and Dean. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are doing well. What I wanted to start out with is you, as far as I know, you broke in with CZW. Mm-hmm. Or at least that was your first big break, at least. So what was the experience as a woman breaking in with that ultra-violent promotion?
Well, originally I started training back at home in Virginia, and then when I decided to just branch out because I figured I couldn't just stick in one state forever, CZW and Ring of Honor was the two companies that I decided to stick with outside of Virginia. So in CZW, like when I first started training there, it was just me and Kimberly. We were the only two girls in training. So it was nice to have another girl there, but both of us were treated like men, which is fine because even when I first started training in Virginia, I was usually the only girl. So I got used to being treated as a man regardless. I just didn't want to be in a company or in a storyline or whatever, basically just like eye candy or just a manager or just, you know, something that would not showcase what I could really do. So when I first started coming to CZW, when I started training with the guys and everything, I was told, you know, I'll be able to actually wrestle with, I'll be considered, you know, just one of the guys. I'll wrestle anybody from, like, Black G's to Devin Moore. Like, I'll be pitting a match as if I was just another wrestler, which is what I wanted. So it was fun to train there and to debut there and have practically a year and a half history there. So it was really fun. I'm happy I was able to train and grow there.
Were you ever nervous given the CZW reputation? Were you ever nervous or did you have any hesitation at all?
Oh, absolutely. When I first started training, I heard of CZW and I watched some tapes, so I kind of just got the idea of, oh my gosh, they're just a deathmatch company and they just do a lot of blood and hardcore stuff. But then when I first started training at CZW, DJ Hyde, Black G's, Drew Gulak, they all basically told me, like, that's just, I've never been to a CZW show before, so they were just telling me, you know, that's just maybe one or two matches in a whole show. Like, there's actually real ground wrestling, some high flying. It's a variety, so I believe them. And I knew they wouldn't make me do anything I wasn't comfortable with. So it was the fact that not only did they talk me into, you know, making me comfortable, they definitely just took me under their wing and made sure that I didn't do anything I wasn't, you know, comfortable or able to do.
I'm sorry, I kind of cut you off there. But when you did break in, you were with Adam Cole for quite some time. Now, what was that experience like going out there? Were you going out there and observing what was going on? I mean, was that more of a learning process for you?
Absolutely. Like, I've never, before I was with Adam Cole, I've never really been a manager before, so I was really blessed that the company put me with Adam because he gave me a lot of tips and advice and things to do, and it was so easy with him because when we got together, he was the heel, so I basically just played off of him, and we just wanted to make the crowd hate us, and it was really easy with him because I just fed off of him, and he made me feel comfortable, and he made me bring out, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on this show or not.
Go ahead.
But he made me bring out the inner bitch in me, and it was so easy. First of all, being a girl at that company, like, everybody wants to call the girl at CZW a whore or she has herpes chant or something. So once I got that she has herpes chant, I knew I got him, and Adam just played it up, like, kept making out with me and grabbing my butt and stuff. So it was just really easy to get in with the crowd and to feel them out and to know what they hated. So I had a lot
now,
of fun with that.
During this feud that Adam had with Sami Callihan, one of the first big spots you took was that pile driver. Sami put you through a table. Now, what was that moment like for you?
It was scary. Before that, I'd never been through a table before, so I was extremely nervous about it, but I've known Sami. I've trained with Sami a few times at CCW as well, so I knew that he would not do anything to really mess my life up. I trusted him. I trust everybody in the locker room, so I definitely had no problem with it. I knew he would take care of me, and I remember he told me, like, hey, it would be awesome if we did this because no other girl has done it, and the crowd really wants that, et cetera, et cetera. I was like, hell, if it's fine, let's do it. Like, it really didn't take a lot of pull for me because I've taken pile drivers before, so I was just like, hey, let's go for it.
Is there anything that they wanted you to do that you didn't do, or is it pretty much 100% so far?
Pretty much 100%. They wanted me. We were supposed to do this thing where eventually I would have to wrestle DJ Hyde, and to be honest, I was not feeling it. I couldn't tell you why. I just didn't have a good vibe about it, and I didn't feel like it was necessary. Granted, CZW, you know, I'm just going to say it out loud right now. Like, CZW, they've always treated me well, and they've always taken really good care of me. And
no, cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, they wanted, after me and Greg had our feud, DJ wanted me and him to have a feud.
Right.
But for some reason, I just didn't feel comfortable with it. I can't pinpoint why, but there was just a vibe that I wasn't feeling. So I couldn't do it.
Okay, now, one thing I did want to get into was, of course, that the series of matches you had with Greg Excellent. Now, it started out, I'm not quite sure the genesis of it. Can you get into the genesis of that feud that you had with him?
Basically, Adam had a match with Greg, and, oh my gosh, I don't even remember. I know that they had a couple matches, and I always kept interfering and being a part of the match, and I don't know if I cost Greg the match or I made Adam one. I don't remember what I did, but I remember I was always doing something whenever Adam and Greg was wrestling. So eventually they put me and Greg together, and to be honest, I heard it was only supposed to be a one-time thing, like just a match for the show, and then that was that. But then the way the first match ended up, they wanted to do a series of it, which was completely fine with me because I had a lot of fun with Greg. Like, it was, to be honest, that was probably the most fun feud I've had so far.
Okay, so the connoisseur of Mountain Dew, as we call him, Greg Excellent, and you had the series of matches. It, of course, erupted at the TLC match that people are still talking about today, quite frankly. I've seen the match. I've seen highlights of the match. All I can say is I really think that is do you think, in your opinion, do you think that that match, the TLC match with Greg Excellent, elevated you to the next level, both in the fans' eyes and both with the locker room?
Absolutely. Before the TLC match, I've never done a match, like a hardcore match or a gimmick match or anything like that before. So it was definitely something new to me. And you could ask anybody, but when I was told, you know, hey, how would you feel about doing this match, and it being with Greg, I could trust my life in his hands. Like, I could put my life in his hands and I trust him. So, of course, I said, yeah, let's do it, just because it's with Greg and, you know. But I was extremely nervous about it. I got a lot of advice and tips from the boys. And Greg, I give Greg all the credit in the world. I think that it was, I did a little bit of it, but I think he did about 80 to 90% of everything in that match. He carried my ass through the whole thing, and he's so underrated. Oh, my gosh, I wish more people would know about Greg. But I really think that because of him and CCW giving me this opportunity with this TLC match, like, it definitely elevated me to the next level, because I already know that before I had this match, when it was advertised in a TLC match, a lot of people were like, I don't know if she can do it. I've never seen her do anything like this, so it's going to definitely be a challenge. Like, they were uncertain on how it was going to turn out, and then afterwards, it's like a lot of people have, they've respected me a lot more, and I'm thankful for it. Like, I didn't know how well it turned out until I watched it back. I'm so glad that it happened, and I definitely give it credit for my name being brought out a lot more.
Now, that last, the move that led to the win was you did a sunset flip over Greg off the top of the ladder, and it modified into a powerbomb through a table. What was that like as you're doing it, as it's going on? I mean, what are you thinking? Because that, just that move alone, I mean, is just so amazing to watch.
Well, once again, that was all Greg's idea. I've never even done a sunset flip bomb in my life, like not even on pop rope or anything. The closest I've had to doing that was the Yoshi Tonic I did to Greg in the second match of our feud. But he came up with that idea, and honestly, I'm petrified of heights. So even if you watch the video back, you can see me, I sound like a big girl right now, but I started crying when I was climbing up there. And also, Greg had a concussion right before when we fell to the outside onto the table. He got a concussion from that. So when he was coming up, like, his face his face was shot white, bloodied, and here I am, like, I don't even know, 10 feet off the ground, looking down on this big, beastly man with blood coming down. Like, it was, I could still see the screenshot in my head. It was petrifying. It was terrifying. And even though he was concussed, like, I still trusted him, and he just told me to go for it. So I just went for it, and I don't know if you can really see, but when I flipped over, I basically dangled from Greg's legs. Like, I still didn't even hit the floor when I flipped over. So he made sure that, you know, once I got over, he made sure that I was there before he went. So there was a lot of scary moments in that match, and him being concussed and me being up so high was definitely the two scariest moments. Like, I can't even explain it. Like, even my parents haven't even seen the video, because they know how scared I am of heights. Like, I don't... it was so scary.
Okay, now, after the match, you obviously won that match. The fans are chanting your name. You're very emotional. Just relive that moment for us right now.
Well, to be honest, I've never thought in a million years I would ever work for CCW. Like, being, you know, first year training and watching these CCW tapes and seeing all these names and stuff working there, I never in a million years thought I would wrestle there. And even if I did think about it, like, man, they probably would hate me because I'm a girl. I don't do all this extra stuff. So right after I won, and then the crowd, I looked up. First of all, after I won, I didn't know what the hell we just went through. I just felt like we just went through a plane crash. I was just glad it was over. And then when I looked up, everybody was on their feet. And then I heard them chanting my name. And then I heard them chanting Greg's name. And then I heard them chanting both of our names. So the fact that they were doing that for us, it was like we made an impact in this company. We did something where people will look back, hopefully in a couple years, and be like, you remember seeing this, or say another girl has to wrestle a guy, they will refer to me and Greg's match. Like, that is what I thought, and it was like, I finally got these people to realize that I am one of the boys. Like, I can do what these guys do, and they finally see it. So it was so emotional, and it felt like I accomplished something in the business. It felt like I actually did something in the business.
Now, the Blasian Barbie thing, is that something that you wanted to go with, or was that something that they put on you as a gimmick?
Oh, my word. To be honest, Larry Legend, he's the one that came up with it, and he just ran with it. And I thought it was the funniest thing, so I'm like, you go for it. You trademarked that. I left all that to Larry. That's his brilliant idea.
Because you're running with it.
Yeah, okay. Basically.
Okay, now, Mia, I do have a fan. His name is John from... from Rhode Island. He would be very angry if he did not have a chance to speak with you. Most likely.
So.
Yeah, just a little bit of background. He likes to sing songs.
Okay.
So he may have a song for you to sing. So I'll bring him on. And I apologize ahead of time. Hey, John, how are you doing tonight, sir?
How are you doing? And how are you doing, Mia?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great.
Now, go ahead, John. I'm sorry. I cut you off.
First, I want to congratulate you for the second best match on the card from Shine last week, because first two matches from Shine that you've had have been the number one favorite for me to see, like with Jessica Havoc and Sassy Steffi.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. So, who would you want to see them bring in for you to face, do you think? Either they are? For you to see, for you to have a dream match against that you never get a chance to wrestle against?
At Shine or in general?
Well, in Shine or in general.
I think he wants both.
I would love to wrestle Jazz. Meeting her at the last few Shines, she's amazing.
Yeah.
So I would love to wrestle her.
Hey, John, I have a very quick question for you.
Yeah.
Do you have a song for Mia? I know this is your thing. Have you come up with one for Mia Yim?
I actually do, if she would like it.
Okay, it's up to you, Mia. If you would like to hear the song that John has painstakingly written, the choice is yours. Okay, let's hear it, John.
I love the way Mia handles the boat. I love the way she sails the boat. I just think she is beautiful. She's a lovely, she's a lovely... She's a lovely, she's a lovely, she's a lovely. I love the way she bites her lips. I love the way she shakes those hips. I love the way she smells those chests. I just think she is beautiful.
Okay, John. Do you have anything else?
I'm flattered. I feel wooed.
Do you have anything else for Mia Yim?
No, you're done.
No.
Is
there any particular match in Shima right now that you've had a favorite in? Because I've seen many of those in there. Like, you've had one with Tamashii Mote, if I'm not mistaken, or I could be wrong.
A favorite match of my own?
Yes.
I really enjoyed my match with Kana. That was a lot of fun.
That was really big when I saw that one. Yeah. That was nervous to stop, and now it was turned out phenomenal for me, so I really appreciate it for a great match.
Okay, John.
I wish you the best of luck, Mia.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so everyone, that was John from Rhode Island. And quite the song. I like the way she...
Phil Collins doesn't have anything on John.
I like the way she sails the ships.
Yes, the ships.
She bites her lips and she shakes her hips. I love it. Oh, my goodness.
I'm so sorry.
I thought it was entertaining. I enjoyed it.
Okay, now getting back into the interview. You had a tryout with TNA. And there was a little bit of disappointment there. What happened? And do you feel you grew from that experience with TNA?
Oh, my gosh. That was so long ago. I don't even... this was back in 2010, I think. It was when I was still, branching out from Virginia. So this was way before CCW, way before Ring of Honor and the current stuff. So I was still very new. And if the way I'm now, you would have not guessed that back in the day. I was just a shy, to myself person. So when I went to TNA, like, I was just so shy and in shock. The only friend I had there that I actually knew was Lee South, the photographer, so I basically hung around him the whole time. But yeah. I got to meet everybody at TNA back in the day, which was, like, Velvet and Angelina and, what's her name, Madison Rain. So I was able to meet everybody there, and everybody was super nice and super sweet to me. And I wrestled Taylor. What was her TNA name? I don't know. Taylor Wilde, the, there we go, Taylor
yeah.
Wilde.
At least it wasn't Von Erich.
Yeah, that shows how bad my memory is right now. But I wrestled Taylor Wilde, and she was just a sweetheart. She knew I was nervous, like I was fidgeting and biting my nails and stuff, so she kept me calm. And I thought we had a really good match. I really would like to watch it back to see how I did, to learn from it. But it was a great learning experience, too. And she gave me a lot of advice, and Al Snow and D'Lo Brown gave me a lot of advice, and it was an awesome experience. And you know, things don't go their way, but you know, as I like to think about it, when one door closes, another one opens. You know, God maybe just thinks I wasn't ready for it yet, or He has something better planned for me. So I mean, I'm not bitter, I'm not mad about it. I'm happy where I'm at right now. Japan is my number one goal. So. Things fall into place the way God wants them. So I'm not bitter or mad about it. So it's another learning experience in the books for me. I enjoyed it. It was a fun time.
Now, speaking of Japan, you're signed. you have a contract in Japan. So I believe it's October 8th. You're leaving. You're going to Japan. What is that like for you? I mean, this obviously is the biggest moment so far in your career.
Thank you so much. And for the record, it is not confirmed that it's October 8th yet. I'm guesstimating, but it's not October 8th yet. I still don't know when I'm going over, but I have a feeling it's going to be early October. And concerning Japan and stuff, like I was touring with Reina. Reina's been the only company in Japan that I work for. I would love to work for other companies like JWP or Sendai Girls, or you know, just you know, branch around. But as of right now, I'm happy. I've been touring with Reina since last year, and they actually wanted to sign me last year, but I was in my final year of college, so. When they offered that to me, I just told them, you know, hey, when I graduate, you know, you guys will be on the top of the list. I don't care if it's any other contracts, like you guys will be my priority. So once I finished school and I got my diploma, all that stuff, I hit them up. I'm like, hey, by the way, you know, I finished school. If you guys still want me, like I'm available full time now. And then when I went back over for my last tour, that's when we discussed it and figured out the details and everything, and you know, I got my father and other people to take a look at things and make sure everything was fine, and now I get to live my dream.
Okay.
Amy, is it Northern Virginia or Southern Virginia?
I'm in Northern Virginia, near D.C.
What part?
Fairfax.
Okay, you're right near me, actually.
Really?
I'm like 10 minutes south of you in Lake Ridge.
Oh, well, damn.
Yeah, we'll hang out. We'll have fun.
Now, one other thing. You had your last match, or so it would appear, with CZW at the last show. It was you and, goodness, who was your tag team partner? Was it Greg?
Yeah,
it was you and Greg against Drew Gulak and Kimberly. So how was that for your last match in CZW?
I enjoyed it. I got to wrestle, you know, one of my best friends, Kim, and we got to we trained with each other for maybe a year and a half. So, like, we knew, and we wrestled each other all over the place in around the area, like in Jersey and stuff. So we knew what we can do, and we know what we could take and stuff. So that was easy. And then teaming up with Greg was phenomenal. He is so funny. I'm so glad that I got to work against him and work with him. So it was nice that I was able to have a match with practically my best friends. And it was just all around fun.
Yeah, and it was, I believe, Greg, after the match, he did say that this is, you know, probably your last time for a while in CZW. So it was a great moment for you, I think. The appreciative fans there did give you somewhat of a send-off. Now,
yeah.
I forget where I was going to go. I had another question, and it went right away. But now, where can people follow you to follow your career and to, you know, keep in contact with you?
Oh, my gosh. I am a loser, so I'm always online. I'm on Twitter, at Mia Yim. Like, everything is Mia Yim. So Facebook.com/MiaYim, at Mia Yim. I have my own website, MiaYim.com. I'm everywhere, so it will be really easy to find me and follow me. I don't have a life besides wrestling, so I'm always on the internet. And, yeah, if you want to contact me, Twitter is usually the easiest way.
Oh, I finally remembered what it was. At the Jersey Shore Championship Wrestling Show, I think it was in July, the end of July, you were there, and you came out to cut a promo after one of the matches, and it was probably one of the funniest things I've ever witnessed. All the fans in attendance were booing, hissing, they were blowing the air horns. Anytime you tried to get a word out. Now, was that the closest you ever came to actually just losing it in front of the audience?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I've never gotten a reaction like that before. Even at CCW when I was with Adam Cole, like, even when I talked on the mic, they didn't act like that. So, granted, I'm rarely the heel, so the only place I am is with Jersey Shore and JAP. And and also another thing, you know, a secret about me is I really, really, really suck at promos. So I was already nervous going in there. And I remember I was the first or second promo of the day. And I know, I think it was Danny DeMonto or Bandito Jr. that had a promo after me. So before I go out, though, one of the other came up to me and was like, hey, don't mess this up now. Get him hype. I was like,
oh,
crap. No pressure. I really just went out there to wing it, and I was expecting an extreme epic fail of another promo. But once I went out there, and bless Daisy, bless her soul, because she just played along with it and just started laughing. And the minute I try to say something, air horns. Freaking air horns. And I was like, this is not going to go down. So I tried to stay out to say what I wanted to say, and it's legit been maybe 5 or 6 minutes, and I barely got a hey, shut, and then that's basically all I got out. So I just left. So I was like, well, yeah. And then I go in the back, and everybody was like, good job. That's what we need. Good job. I was like, oh, my gosh. Thanks.
You did kind of the job that you wanted. So were you happy with that result after everybody was complimenting you, or were you still kind of upset?
Oh yeah, that was something far beyond my expectations. Like, I did not, to be honest, I thought I was going to get booed for a horrible promo. So the fact that I got that reaction, I was like, I didn't even do anything. It's awesome to be a bitch. So I felt like I did something good. For the day, at least.
Yeah, I certainly thought that was one of the one of the best promos I've ever seen. So,
I loved it. But
Mia, thank you so much for giving this interview. I know you're very busy getting things prepped to go to Japan. Good luck in Japan as well. And
you're
welcome anytime when you come back and you're on hiatus, because I know you're coming back to America every once in a while. Not that a priority would be to call in here, but. You're more than welcome to.
I'll make sure to keep you guys updated and maybe, you know, keep down my numbers so when you see it next time, because I'm probably going to be surprised calling y'all.
Okay. That sounds definitely great. And like I said, again, good luck in Japan, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Break a leg.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was Mia Yim, Dan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very well spoken. I like somebody when you ask a question, that's you get several answers. It's fantastic.
It is a very good thing, yes.
And you know, like I said earlier, and it cuts in with the promo story she just told, if they don't hate you, you're not doing something right.
That's true. Hang on to that note. Speaking of people that are hated, I believe Breaker Morant is on the line, so we're going to get to him. But we have a promotional consideration to get to, Dan.
Paid for by the Fox.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room on WEXP 1600 AM in Philadelphia and TheBradyHicks.com. Like what you hear? Be sure to check out all the other great content available on TheBradyHicks.com. In the Room, Between the Ropes, JV Mail, Hell in a Cell Radio, Titus Machiavelli, The Papa Don Show, What's Wrong with Wrestling, The Book Club, Saturday Night Akbaz, The Extreme Odd Couple with Steve Corino and Rob Dimension, The O Show, The Fish Tank with Bobby Fish, and Tim Date, the dating and relationship show at TheBradyHicks.com. Great video content. This Week in Wrestling. Stepping Out with Sassy Stephanie. WSU and ECWA TV. Completely Damaged. Wrestling Reflections with Darren Corbin. And so much more. Check it out today.
Hey, does my one ear look bigger than the other?
Yeah, that was Brady, of course, ECWA show, the 45th anniversary show. And Dan, here's the call-in bumper.
To get in the cell, call in at 718-664-9133. Again, that is
718-664-9133. Hey, hey.
Now, for going from the beautiful to the brawny, I guess is the best way to...
The beautiful to the scarred.
Yes, the burn, you may say. From the beautiful to the burn, that's what we'll say. It's the way that I like to put it. The general of the Blackhearts is on the line. That's our next guest. What we're going to do, just very briefly, Dan, is the Blackhearts started. They started attacking Bazooka Joe and ECWA at last year's K-Cup. Of course, this year's K-Cup is coming up in a few weeks. At last year's K-Cup, it was revealed Breaker Morant was, of course, one of the Blackhearts, along with Josh Daniels and Bobby Shields, led by none other than Joel Goodhart, who became Joel Blackheart. From that point on, Breaker was involved in a feud with Chris Wilde. Of course, Chris Wilde won the TWA championship for Breaker. But it all kind of spilled out into this War Games match, Dan. And what happened at War Games?
Well, it got a little hot, and there was a bag that was brought into the ring, and inside of that bag apparently was some fire. Well, fire wasn't in the bag. There was a lighter, and somebody got their face burned.
And that is, of course, our guest, Breaker Morant. Now, right now, he's been out of action, but I'm going to bring him on right now. Hello, Breaker. You are on the line with Dean and Dan. Welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Thank you. What's up, guys?
We're very excited to hear about the Blackhearts. Now, why did you decide to join up with Joel Goodhart? What was the thought process going into that?
Well, Joel Goodhart, he came to me with a proposition. Obviously, TWA was kind of being left in the dust a little bit by ECWA. And I was lingering with my belt that I held for 26 months. That might add the longest reigning TWA champ ever.
That is true.
He said, we will form a group and get some revenge. And they will have no other choice but to contract us to ECWA.
Of course,
so
that happened that happened at last year's K-Cup. Basically, you took hostage Sonny Leach. Why Sonny Leach? What did Sonny Leach do to you guys?
He had it coming to him. Sonny, basically, wrong place, wrong time. He's a fixture at ECWA for the length of time they've been around. And I figured, who better than good old Sonny, the ring crew guy, to get a hold of and take hostage.
I agree with that.
Let them know that Blackheart was not there to play games.
Okay, so, and then, of course, Joe Zanoli, his back against the wall, he gives you the contracts. At this point, this goes into the New Year's show, and you, at this point, Bazooka Joe's out of the picture. You guys took him completely out. And then all sights were focused on Chris Wilde. Now, why Chris Wilde at that point?
Well, really, when you get down to it, Chris Wilde was not only mine, but our main focus. And we threw everyone off by taking out Bazooka Joe for one of Chris Wilde's best friends. And that was basically how we got over on everybody with that. Chris Wilde is one of the biggest fan favorites in ECW for some time now. And he was basically wrong place, wrong time again with another guy. And, you know, Bazooka Joe was never even in our sights. But we took him out to get to Chris Wilde because we knew if we went directly for Chris Wilde, Bazooka Joe would have got in the way anyhow.
Oh, okay. So it was a preemptive strike to take out Bazooka Joe, get him out of the way. So this all culminates. You had a series of matches in January and March. You had these tag team matches, these tag team wars. Keiko was involved in some of them. Atu, who is no longer around in ECWA, of course, was involved in some of these matches. Chris, obviously, was involved. And you, Bobby, and Josh were very involved in these matches. Now, in the early days of this battle that you had with ECWA, was the goal all along to become the top company in a way to, instead of it being ECWA, for it to be TWA? Is that what the goal was?
Yes. Goodhart basically didn't want anybody to forget how TWA had came along and was started by him, and he felt like it was forgotten. So he went into his little hole of thinking and came up with this mastermind plan that we would form a faction and just take over. And we basically, that's what we did. But we, our first and foremost was to let ECWA fans and staff and workers know TWA wasn't going to just lay down and die.
Oh, okay. Well, did you think it would come to this? I mean, war games happen, and it kind of backfired on you. I mean, did you expect it to come to this?
Backfire, no pun intended, huh?
No, yeah. Actually, I didn't, but I'll take that one, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard them all. I never thought it would come to that. I never thought of Chris Wilde digging down that deep. And hey, he pulled a move that I would have pulled. And he did what he had to do. He was at his last straw. Because he had nobody else left to have his back. We took them all out.
Now, are you healing up nicely? What's next for Breaker?
Yes. Had to take a few, under doctor's guidance, I had to take some time off. Had some burns to the face and around the eye area. But I will be back October 13th to face my nemesis, Chris Wilde, and also a very, very hot, pissed off Papa Don.
Now, do you think, is that somebody that's going to get in your way, or are you not even worried?
My game plan right now, it's just to let them two beat the hell out of one another. and maybe Breaker can capitalize on that and walk out a champ.
That is true, because the champion does not have to be pinned or submitted.
Exactly.
You can definitely walk out of there the champion very, very quickly. Dan, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask you another thing. Is that when you come out to the ring, I hear a lot of people that chant Breaker moron. Is that something that does that fire you up, or does that take you off the game a little bit, or is that what you're looking for?
That don't take me off my game. I've been hearing that for years. I've been hearing Breaker outhouse. I've heard it all. No, that don't take me off my game. Not at all. Fires me up? Yeah, I agree.
Mm. Cool.
Now, also coming up November 2nd, you have a singles match in NWA Dog versus Papa Don. This is big news. I'm on the cusp of the news, Dan. So, what are your feelings going into that match? Obviously, Papa Don and you are the longest reigning TWA champion of all time. Papa Don's the longest reigning ECWA champion of all time. So this is a really marquee match.
Yes, I think that night two come to a head, and I think it's going to be epic.
Okay.
Papa Don, hell of a talent. Hell of a talent. We have no history, but he's a hell of a talent. And I think, it should be one to not miss.
Okay. So that's November 2nd, of course, at the Clayton High School, I do believe, in Clayton,
yes,
New Jersey.
Yes, Friday night, November 2nd.
So that's going to be a big one. And then, of course, the next night is ECWA action down in Newark, Delaware. So a whole weekend of great matches await everyone in November. Now, Breaker, is there anything you wanted to say? Right now is like an open forum for you. Is there anything you wanted to say to your opponents first on the 13th and then again on the 2nd?
I'll say this. I'm coming back. Full force, full-fledged. Nothing's going to hold me back. Not Chris Wilde, not Papa Don, not Joe Zanoli, or anyone in ECWA. Breaker Morant will do exactly what he has to do to walk out of there with gold.
Hey, simple, to the point.
When you're as tough as Breaker Morant, you don't need to say much.
That's true. I think really – now, is there any place that fans can follow you on the social networking buzz? If somebody wants to follow the career of Breaker Morant, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on my Facebook page, which is under MattBoyd/Breaker Morant. And I'm not too up on the Twitter thing. So basically, it's Facebook or just your indie wrestling sites.
Okay. So that sounds definitely good. Of course, the date that you return to get a taste of vengeance is October 13th. Kearney's Point, New Jersey is the place. ECWA is the company. My goodness, I can't wait for a Breaker. Well, last question. Here it is. It just came to me right now. The Blackhearts. Is this a point, once you return to the fold, is this a point for you guys to rebound?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, we are a faction, but we all have our own singles career as well. So, for Bobby Shields moving up the ladder, or Josh Daniels, more power to them. I applaud it.
Okay. You applaud it. You are the general. You are the leader. Thank you for taking time out of your day, Breaker, to really give us a insight into what's going on out there. And I look forward to your return October 13th in Kearney's Point.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
No problem.
You have a
Appreciate
good night
it.
Now.
You too.
Okay. So, Dan, that was The General.
I'm really looking forward to that triple threat match.
That triple threat match will go down in history, my friend, as one of the greatest triple threats in ECWA history.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen a triple threat match in person. In fact, the last one I saw was WCW live show in the Spectrum. It was Bam Bam Bigelow, Ric Flair, and Scott Hall.
Pardon me, Dan. Now, sorry. I don't know what's going on tonight. It's one of those nights. It's one of those nights, Dan. Now, oh my God. I need a moment, Dan.
All right. I'm not bored, so don't play that one.
Good God, Dan.
We'll be right back after this, folks.
I need something.
Just break.
I'm trying. I'm there. We go. This is. We'll be right back.
Debajo de esas dos cejas, qué bonitos ojos tienes. Ellos me quieren mirar, pero si tú no los dejas, pero si tú no los dejas, ni siquiera parpadear. Malagueña, salerosa, a tus labios quisiera. A tus labios quisiera, malagueña salerosa, y decirte, niña hermosa.
Back after this on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Oh, wait. I was on mute, Dan. I went into a whole thing about my theory about the Blackhearts. Can you can you hear me, Dan?
No, I can hear you now. We're back.
Okay. Oh, well, there you go.
That's probably probably why you shouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, I started going into a dissertation of Joel Blackheart and who he recruited and why.
No. Well, you know what? We'll just leave it a mystery even to me.
Yes. You know what, Dan?
No. Well,
I think Seamus has to chime in.
I didn't really take anything from the Monster Factory, to be honest with you.
I just didn't learn a goddamn thing from the Monster Factory. I don't know who the Solaris Sharp is.
I didn't really take anything from the Monster Factory, to be honest with you.
Honest with you. You know, they didn't even learn me how to
I didn't really take anything from the Monster Factory, to be honest with you.
They teach me how to do my broke shit. I don't even understand what the hell is going on. Who the hell is Monster Factory?
Did you see this week on WWE.com?
Calm yourself, Dean, before you go into something you don't want to.
Well, no, but this week on WWE.com, my friend, there was an article about some great training schools. And it went into the English training school that Sheamus was trained at. Not one word, not one mention of a certain factory that produces...
You know why it's no mention of the Monster Factory? Because it didn't goddamn happen. There was no freaking Monster Factory. What the hell are you talking about?
I didn't
what
really
the hell? There's nothing in New Jersey.
Yes. It was a little disappointed, Dan.
Well, let me rephrase that. There's nothing in northern New Jersey.
So, Dan...
Once you go south, there's a whole hotbed of action, but not really anything. I didn't learn a goddamn thing in New Jersey.
It's not really Sheamus, but it's a good Scottish.
No, Scottish sounds a little bit like this.
I don't know. He's Irish anyway, so.
Well, you know what? It's an angry Irish person.
You know what? The hell with it. We're going to fan mail 10 minutes early because one man can make a difference.
I mean, let's end the show early.
Robert, welcome back after a one-week hiatus.
Save us, Robert, please.
Yes.
Oh, it's good to be back, guys. You know something? I almost didn't make it this week either. Kid had to wake me up because that first interview, I mean, holy moly.
Well,
I didn't know Moose Moretti had a school of interviews, but...
Robert, It's always a pleasure to have you.
Oh, I'm so dead.
In the cell. But
great
Robert,
to be back.
What happened last week?
What happened, man?
What happened last week was I finished my crime fighting a little bit early. I stopped for a cheeseburger. I got out of Kit's sight for about 2 minutes. I get hit from behind. I get shackled and tied up by a guy wearing a leather vest that said American Roughneck and wearing a mask. Now, I wasn't quite sure what exactly was going on there, but I had my suspicions that since he wasn't bright enough to take the vest off and he just put a mask on, it had to be the Roughneck.
So I get back to Kit.
Kit tells me he left his door open when I went in for some cheeseburgers, and the Roughneck stole the announcement I was supposed to make, so he really ruined my night last week. So we're going to have to pay him back one way or another.
We'll get him.
Well, of course, it was a huge announcement. It was Brady Hicks and I... none other than Dean Dixon, in quotation marks, of course. We are now the shut up, Dan. We are now the New Moon Rising Wrestling commentary team. And this could upset some people, quite frankly. It could upset them so much that they could make up these fictitious stories and send emails. At 4 o'clock in the morning.
In quotation marks.
I don't even know what I'm talking about right now.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't even know why I'm laughing.
Me neither. But anyway, Robert, it was a wonderful announcement, and American Roughneck went and stole your thunder.
He stole my thunder, but you know what? This talking has been going on back and forth for so long, and I don't think he realizes that sooner or later the joking's going to stop and this is really going to happen. I mean, all this fun and games. I heard he was on Brady's show last night trying to follow in my footsteps again now that Brady has syndicated fan mail with Robert Knight. I got the Roughneck riding my coattails with Brady. I mean, it's just getting to the point where something's got to be done about this guy, and I'm going to finish it. It's going to happen real soon.
Some people are leaders. Some people are followers.
Exactly.
Now, Dan, I did send you, I forwarded you one of the pieces of fan mail. Could you go ahead and read that one for me?
I'll read the one that's not in quotations. Dear Mr. Knight, what are your plans when it comes to the return of New Moon Rising Wrestling, and who will be your first target? Keep taking care of those evildoers of the world. Your pal, Victor from Cape May.
Oh, the Cape May fans chiming in. You know, Victor, that's a great question. With New Moon Rising Wrestling getting its restart coming up very, very soon, the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, has big things lined up. And I'm not going to tell you what I have, you know, lined up in the long term, but what's coming up right away is I got to put an end to the American Roughneck. And he's you know, like I said, he's talking about me. He's targeting me. He wants me and my U.S. championship. Let's put the championship out of it. This is getting to the point where the championship has nothing to do with what's going to happen to the American Roughneck. He's running his mouth one time too many, and he's driving that tin can that he calls a motorcycle on the sidewalks a little bit too far this time. The Knight Rider's going to put an end to it, and it's going to happen in Deptford, New Jersey.
Wow. Well, I can't say it better than that. Now I have another piece of fan mail here.
Oh, boy. Is this... Okay.
Now, it goes like this, Robert. And I'm reading it verbatim. Hey, Rye. You know Moose's Moondog. Golf with Larry in them. I wrestle Sabu. Best of the... Remember I Hardcore. And that's time. Come. When Mon gesterized. And it's simply signed Moondog. And this time it looks like a little bit of, I don't know, like dog food that was signed in dog food. I'm not...
You know, I did hear about this. I heard that the Madman himself, who is the sole proprietor of the Madman Moose Moretti School of Interviews, now has changed his gimmick to the Moondog, and apparently he's advertising that he's booked in a match with Sabu. Now, if anybody saw the four-star performance he had with Balls Mahoney and Fearless Hills, they need to call Botchamania, because for the first time ever, Botchamania needs to devote an entire episode to just one match, and it's going to be Moondog Moose against Sabu.
Oh, God, yeah.
Holy
moly.
Yeah, I
can see that. I can totally see that happening.
Okay.
What is this?
I'm not sure.
Are we getting something in from the news desk?
Yeah, this is breaking news, Robert. I'm glad you're here. It's strange how these things happen. Okay, so this is another piece of fan mail, Robert, and it's pretty lengthy. Let me just skim here.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so okay. Here we go. Dear Robert Knight. After conducting a multitude of meetings, the board of directors at New Moon Rising Wrestling have decided now is the time to take action. As the great congressman Bob Dobbs once said, now is the time for action, for inaction will stalemate the cause. And our cause here at New Moon Rising Wrestling is to create the greatest show on earth, far greater than P.T. Barnum and his band of roaming gypsies. But I digress. Everyone has been asking when the next show will be. Finally, we can give you an answer. October 27th.
Whoa!
With a 7 p.m. bell time.
Whoa!
Though it will not simply be a next show, it will be the rebirth, Robert.
Whoa.
And I still got more, so please hold your thoughts.
Oh, boy.
Due to the actions of the Me Society and the inaction of the previous regime, the board of directors has decided all championship titles will be on the line October 27th.
Whoa.
And the name of the event is going to be PG-13. Now, we have heard about this for months. This is our way. This way, our champions or their challengers will prove they are the best of the best. First, the New Moon Rising Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. Our current champion, Luis the Punisher Martinez, will defend his title against the former heavyweight champion, X-Dog Jake Bishop.
Whoa.
The board of directors feels forcing X-Dog's rematch clause is our only option in providing the fans with the best entertainment, and I will give the Punisher the best opponent. I will give the Punisher the best opponent. I'm sorry.
No.
Yes. Second, our tag team champions, the Untouchables. They travel the independent circuit facing all challengers, showing why they are worthy to be New Moon Rising Wrestling tag team champions. So the board of directors has decided to adopt their idea and bring it in-house.
What?
The board of directors is proud to announce the acquisition of one of the greatest tag teams on the independent circuit. That is none other than Damian Dragon and Matt Saigon.
What?
Fusion DS will be challenging Untouchables for the tag team championship.
Oh, my God.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, man.
Fusion DS, the acquisition.
That's awesome.
Yes, it is. Let me get back where I was. And finally, the new U.S. champion will be crowned at the end of our signature match, PG-13. Robert, you can go into more detail about that one. And now a special thank you to Robert from the board. Since you were so kind to keep the title safe after Mike Reed was stripped of the title, due to the stipulation the Me Society made at our last event, you are being rewarded as the first entrant into the PG-13 match. On the other side of the coin, former U.S. champion Mike Reed will be given the honor of being the 13th and final entrant. All this
award... Wait a minute, Dean. Let me stop you right there.
Okay.
I'm the current U.S. champion. I won the 2.5-hour battle royal. I think the board of directors has got that mixed up. I mean, they're going to take a thief and put him in last, and they're going to take a defending honorable hero of a champion and make me go into the ring first? Something's got to be done about this.
You are first, Robert, and let me just say, I think that's a great thing. Now, go ahead, and what else do you got to say? It does seem like a bit of an outrage. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a little ticked about it, but you know what? I proved myself when I won the belt. I went 2.5 hours. It was the longest and the greatest battle royal in wrestling history, and now they're going to tailor a match a little bit. You know, it's not going to be in my favor. I know the rules of PG-13, but I'm not afraid. I'm going to go in there fighting, and I'm going to take out 12 other competitors and anybody else in that locker room that wants to step in the ring. It doesn't make a difference. So now it's going to be October 27th. Bring everybody on. PG-13 is going to be the night of Robert Knight.
Okay, now all this and more, Robert, will be at the New Moon Rising Wrestling Return Event, PG-13, live October 27th. 2012. Now
that's incredible.
That address is 1030 Delcy Drive, Building 4W, and that's Deptford, New Jersey, 08096. I will give that address out again later on. Now, the doors open at 6 p.m. Bell time is 7, as we said. Now, to quote Senator John Matrix, you know, when I was a boy and rock and roll came to the East Germany, the communists said it was subversive. We will not be subversive. We will be entertaining, and we will be the best in your favorite show once again. And this was sent from this person's iPhone because they are an elitist, and it's the voice of the board, none other than Donald Warren.
Well, I'm going to have Kit set up a meeting with Donald Warren because I'm just as excited as everybody else about this first event for New Moon Rising Wrestling, but... like I said, to put me in the ring first, I mean, maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way. You tell me, maybe they're doing me a favor by letting me showcase my abilities once again to everybody else in that ring and to all the fans who are going to be in attendance, just exactly why I am the United States champion.
Well, I mean, maybe they figured that you're the only one to do it. You did it to 2.5 hours before. You got no problem.
Exactly. Now, did they happen to name anybody else that's in this match?
They didn't go that far, no. They did not name anyone else that's in the match at all. The information I have and that I sent to you is all the information I have.
Just a no-good thief, Mike Reed. So it's going to be a short night for Mike Reed. If he's coming in number 13, he's going to be the first one going out once everybody's in the ring. I can promise you that.
Now let's go over the rules of this match yet again. Now it's PG-13 is the name of this match. Now what's... what are the rules of this very unique and, quite frankly, trend-setting match?
What I've been told is there's going to be time intervals. So apparently I'm the first guy in, so I'll be starting with an opponent who's yet to be named. And it's either a minute and a half or 2 minute intervals. A new superstar will come into the ring. Once all 13 competitors are in the ring, then we go battle royal style, over the top rope elimination until there are two guys left, and with those two final guys, which is going to be me and someone else, then becomes a lumberjack match. Lumberjack rules, and the winner of that match, me, will be the United States champion.
Wait, you keep on saying me. Are you part of the Me Society now?
You know, those are good guys, but You know that I'm a young loner on a crusade. Once in a while, I have a little backup in my corner just to keep the fans away from me if I'm doing night court or something like that, but I definitely march to the beat of my own drum.
Now, Robert, we were speaking of the American Roughneck. He's on the line. I think he wants to talk. Maybe you guys can settle what happened last week. Now, Roughneck, are you there with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm here, buddy. This is going to be good. First one in, first one out.
Yeah, and your dreams, pal. Let me ask you, are you going to be wearing a mask out there, or are you going to take it off?
Look,
are you
going to
bring? Are you going to bring that rope and the duct tape that you use for me and whatever else you use that for?
Like I said, Robert, I have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, you have no clue about anything. You got a big empty head, pal. And on October 27th, that empty head's going to be over the top rope, just like you got dropped off an 18-foot ladder.
I'm telling you, you're the first one out, buddy. I'm coming in, and I'm taking care of business. I pray to God. Pray to God that I'm like one of the, hopefully number two. Hoping it's number two. But I'll take 1 through 13. Doesn't matter. Because if I'm probably number three, you're already gone.
Now, if I may interject here, Roughneck, I think you got the blinders on. I think you're going to be... I don't think you have the right strategy to go into this.
Listen. It doesn't matter who else is in the ring. He's going first. I'm not worried about anybody else.
Okay, let's measure it by talent then. Let's just say that Robert is the gallon jug of talent. Where do you consider yourself? More of a cup or an ounce?
Listen, if you don't be quiet, you're going to be disassembled, Dean Dixon, in a few days.
Okay. Oh, fair enough. Robert, take it away.
Listen, I mean, I'm just going to let you just keep building your hopes up for this match, Roughneck. The belt's sitting right here. The belt's going to be leaving with me October 27th, and I was going to set my sights on that no-good thief, Mike Reed, but he's old news. I beat him already twice now, and I took my championship back. So now my sights are set on you. Forget about the belt. Forget about any kind of match. I'm going to end this thing once and for all October 27th. The time for talking is going to be over. The time for playing games is over. You're going to be mine. This is going to happen, and it's not going to be pretty.
You know what, Robert? Whatever you want, I'm there. You want to make it a non-title match, but you know what? The title just makes me beating you just a little more better. Any other match you want past this, if you think you could take me in this match, we'll go for it. Put the title on the line. You don't have to. New Moon Rising Wrestling already has. If you want to step in, have a real match. You pick the match. I'll be there.
Yes, and you just worry about one match at a time. If you survive PG-13 to begin with, you get in touch with my attorneys and my car, and maybe we'll set something up down the line. But I can promise you October 27th, you're going to be carried out of the ring, and you're going to need more than just one oxygen tank this time.
Now, guys,
like I told
just...
you before, PG-13's turning rated R for Roughneck.
Now, guys, I had a brainstorm here. The advantage might go to Roughneck with this one, but I'm not sure. How about we make it a pork roll on a pole match?
You know, that would work because, as
people
Roughneck knows well, yeah, listen, maybe keep your mouth shut.
Yo, I'm talking. People attempted humor, leave the humor to Dan.
Thank you. That's right, Dean.
Well, he's simply above average.
It's a good thing he's talking about you, Dan, because if it was another Dan, there's no humor at all going on there. And as far as pork roll on a pole, listen, Aunt Connie can make a mean pork roll, Roughneck, so don't count your chickens before they're hatched.
I thought Dan's name was Dick McMunch.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Listen, if you put the pork roll on the pole, I might just run up there and take it away.
I think that might be Ryan Big Sides Burgundy.
No, I'm faster than him. That's why.
That is true. I think Dan could take him in the 40.
He's got about 200 pounds on me.
That's motivation. That's motivation for Burgundy.
All I need is a Hershey bar or some pork roll. I'm there.
Roughneck, I got to let you go.
I wish New Moon Rising Wrestling would let him go, too. Make my life a little bit easier.
Now, you can follow American Roughneck. Where is it on Twitter?
It is America Roughneck.
Okay.
On Twitter.
You know,
and
he
of course,
took the can out. He took the can out because something he can't do is defeat Robert Knight. That's what I can do. Put the can in my name because I'm the can man around here. I like big cans.
What the hell? I don't know what's going on. Roughneck, you have a great night. And we the people, Roughneck.
We the people.
Start doing your push-ups, pal. See you in a few weeks.
Push-ups, my goodness. Now, things really broke down there. I'm not sure if anything was resolved.
All I know is I want pork roll.
Pork roll in a pole match. It came to me. I don't know. So, again, Robert, that is, well, before we even get to the big October 27 show that has now been announced, we, of course, have the tryouts, and that's coming up very soon. That's October 6, 2012.
Saturday morning, October the 6th at 9 a.m., the information's on the New Moon Rising Wrestling Facebook pages as well as on our website. And we've been getting a lot of emails and, you know, a lot of people are interested. We have a bunch of people coming from all over the place for this, so it's going to be a pretty big event for us. We're happy about it.
Okay, so the response has been very good at this point.
Yes, absolutely.
This sounds great. Brady and I will be there. I know that for sure, to cover it. So the open invitational tryouts, go to the – now, where can people they can email at nmrwinc@hotmail.com. Don't do it at 4 o'clock in the morning, though, especially if –
yeah, and don't use any names in quotation, and make sure you hide any information.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, in the header of an email, there's not information that could actually track the IP to a reasonably good geographic area. Not at all. It's not
Sue will represent.
Amen. So, Robert, I kind of went off a tangent there. Bring it all back. What do we have to look forward to in this month of October for New Moon Rising Wrestling? Start at the top, October 6th, and then we got the 27th. Come on,
absolutely. October the 6th, the big tryouts. And this is for anybody who's interested in getting into the business. New Moon Rising Wrestling is a family, and we're bringing it back to, you know, the way it should be, with our family of guys who love what we do. We're not out here living off past promises of, you know, you come to our school, you're going to be in the WWE. We're not saying that. We're saying you're going to be properly trained. We're going to train, you know, guys, whether they want to be a wrestler, a manager, a referee, a valet, a ring announcer. If you want to be in the business, you're going to be trained properly. You're going to be able to compete in our organization when you're at that level, and you're going to have, you know, the proper training to go out and have a successful independent career, and from there it's up to you to do the work. We're also proud of the way that we do our training. We're not pretend drill instructors, guys who want to be tough guys and, you know, can't get in the ring and do what they're teaching themselves. What we do is we take the time to go to each individual. You know, we check out the person's size, what they can do, what they can't do, and we're going to tailor everybody to be able to work their style as well as adapt to any other styles. And it's a family environment, and I think people, once they come and try out and see what we do, they're going to be very happy with it.
Okay, and then, of course, the big October 27th return.
Absolutely. As soon as tickets go on sale, I mean, you can hit the website. You'll find out all that information. Tickets are going to go fast. However, the building is not in the corner of a boys' gym. This is going to be a professional wrestling building. And I've seen some pictures. Kit sent me some pictures over today, and this place is looking phenomenal. I mean, it's going to have a cool vibe from the minute you walk in the door, and there's going to be a lot of history made in the New Moon Rising Wrestling Proving Grounds. October 27th is going to be a history-making event, and you're going to want to be a part of it.
I couldn't agree more. Now, before we say adieu one last time, Robert, for the week, here's this.
I didn't really take anything from the Monster Factory, to be honest with you.
I never learned anything from the Monster Factory, to be honest with you. We know who the hell they are in New Jersey.
So, Robert, on that note, what's the catchphrase this week? Do you have a new one, or is it still...
Only one catchphrase. I mean, and that catchphrase will go on forever until the end of time and then just a little bit longer, and that is, one man can make a difference.
I had you sign off, and I had one more thing I wanted to talk to you about.
Oh, sure. I can say it again. Go ahead.
You are now syndicated. You brought it up earlier, but you are now syndicated on thebradyhicks.com. How's that for you? I mean, Are you seeing more hits? Are you seeing more views? I mean, that has to be exciting.
It is very exciting, guy. And I had offers coming in from all over the place. You know, ABC.com, CBS, Fox, everybody else wanted to syndicate me. I said, if Brady Hicks was chosen by New Moon Rising Wrestling to be an announcer, then he definitely is worthy to carry fan mail. So I went with TheBradyHicks.com to syndicate fan mail, and I did see quite a jump in my views. The newest episode, we're working on something a little special. I normally release them on Thursday. It may be tomorrow. It may be Friday, but it's going to be a very interesting episode this week, and I think people are going to be, you know, very happy with what they see. And you can catch it on my YouTube channel. Now you can see it on TheBradyHicks.com, and you can send all your fan mail questions, your responses, your replies, your request for signed 8x10s to my Twitter, and that's at RobertKnight_.
Okay, now...
Where do I put in the request for the pork roll sandwiches?
No, he has no answer for that, my friend.
I really
you got to hit up Aunt Connie's Twitter for that one.
I'm making that tonight, by the way. Robert...
I'm coming over.
The catchphrase... Robert, don't become
Hello.
Breaker on me.
My career is epic, and this is going to be something that people are not going to want to close their blinds, because this is going to be a real big deal. One man can make a difference.
I hate you so much right now, Robert.
I hate you. I love you.
Oh, I think we're going to hear that Mexican song again. Robert, until next week.
Have a good one, guys.
You son of a bitch. Oh, Dan.
We'll be right back.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this, folks.
Debajo de esas dos cejas, debajo de esas dos cejas, qué bonitos ojos tienes. Ellos me quieren mirar, pero si tú no los dejas, pero si tú no los dejas, ni siquiera parpadear. Malagueña, salerosa. Besar tus labios quisiera, malagueña salerosa, y decirte, niña hermosa.
Back, Dan. I don't have a fade out on that
it's
one.
It's amazing that I've actually just forgotten everything that just happened.
Dan, amazingly epic.
Amazingly, epically, amazeballs.
You know what? I came in. I was a little sour coming into the show tonight, but
You know, you hear things about you, and
so. Things have gone much better. Mia Yim was fantastic.
Great episode, great interview, and Breaker's a good guy.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, a good family man, I'm sure.
Good,
now,
you know, whatever. I mean, that there's probably a reason why I'm not a wrestler, and it's not because I'm fat.
Now, Omega, welcome to the show this week.
Save us, please.
I will do my best to save you all.
Okay,
I'm
now...
Not sure how I could do that, but...
One man can make a difference.
Oh, my goodness.
One man can make a sandwich.
One man
oh,
can...
Oh, pork roll sandwich.
One man can derail a podcast. Yes. So, Omega, UFC 152 was this past Saturday. Now, first round, of course, in the main event, Vitor almost pulled off the upset of the century.
That would have been huge if he actually did it. And, you know, he's probably as close as anyone's going to come for a while anyway. He had it locked in pretty good.
All he had to do, Omega, was extend.
It was epic.
I don't even think he had to do that. I mean, I think Vitor was – he's got had it right in there. He did the damage. He was – I think most fighters would have tapped to that. To that arm bar. John Jones is obviously not most fighters. He's a champion for a reason. It is pretty good that he, pretty amazing that he was able to fight as effectively as he did for the next four rounds with that damaged arm.
Yeah, yeah. So, of course, John Jones wins the main event by submission.
Yeah, it's Americana in the fourth round. It was.
And he
basically dominated. Once that the armbar is pretty much Vitor's gasp. I commented about by about the third round, it was very reminiscent of Anderson Silva just playing with his food. There was really no doubt at that point that John Jones was going to win this fight, and I didn't think he was going to get caught another armbar, and it wasn't going to let it go to that far. But credit to Vitor for actually, you know, showing that Jones is vulnerable, showing he is human.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So where does Jones go from here?
I don't know. I mean, he's still got challengers. I think, you know, Machida's an obvious choice. I think you got Alexander Gustafsson, who could be down the road. We'll just have to see. I mean, there's always Dan Henderson, too.
Yes. I'm glad you brought up Hendo, because we talked about him for about a month straight, and of course that's where all these injury bugs started happening and whatnot. But Dan Henderson is, of course, a big threat to that. Who knows? Maybe Matt Hamill. And speaking of Matt Hamill, his return was less than stupendous, you would say. Now, did you actually see that? Because that was on the main card. I think you came into the pay-per-view a little late.
Yeah, I did miss the fight, and then I heard about it, and I didn't bother going back to watch it because it was universally panned.
Yeah, by all accounts, it sounds like it was something that should not have been on a pay-per-view card. So the return of Matt Hamill is like most of his other fights, quite frankly. Now, in the co-main event, we have a new champion. Just go into that a little bit.
The first ever flyweight champion, Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, who... prove me wrong, continues to be an evolving fighter, very even matched throughout the fight. I had it 48-47 for Mighty Mouse. Benavidez just didn't seem to be very dominant in this one. It was a, you know, they were trading rounds back and forth the whole fight. It wasn't a spectacular fight from a action standpoint. There was plenty of back and forth. There was plenty of wrestling, plenty of all the stuff you like in mixed martial arts. You know, why the crowd was booing, I have no idea. I mean, unless you are just a casual fan that only wants knockouts, have no appreciation for the rest of mixed martial arts, that's the only reason I can think of you thought that was a bad fight. It wasn't the greatest fight ever by any stretch, but a bad flyweight. It was probably the worst. I saw a comment on Bloody Elbow. It said that was probably the worst flyweight fight in the UFC, and it was still pretty dang good.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know why people responded that way myself. Now, of course, another big fight on that card was Brian Stann against Michael Bisping. And Bisping came out after last week you said you were going for Stann. So what went wrong and what went right for Bisping?
Well, I think... Bisping did exactly what he needed to do. He fought the fight that he wanted to fight. I basically said that he was going to kind of be a tactician and outpoint Stan, and that's kind of what happened. I think Stan got a good good licking at the end of the first round, but it wasn't enough to put Bisping out, which is what he really needed to do. From there, Bisping just got on his tactical defensive posture and just managed to do enough to get the victory. I mean, it's I didn't actually see this fight either, but from what I'm hearing, it's a Bisping fought a normal Bisping smart fight and got the decision win.
Yes, definitely. Now, in other news, well, before we move on to other news, how would you consider this? Of course, this was kind of hastily put together. There were a lot of injuries, of course, and that's the other news I'm going to get into. But what do you think? Did they do the best with what they had?
Yeah, I think they could. I mean, you know, hindsight being 2020, I mean, obviously the Hamill fight was not worthy of the card. But you had two title fights. You had some excitement in the first round of the main event, which was far more than anybody expected.
That's true.
You had a good flyweight fight. By all accounts, you had a decent, you know, the Stan Bisping fight was decent. You know, I mean, I think for what it could have been, a complete disaster.
Yeah.
I think you gotta like that. But I mean, it's not. Is it going to be up there in the pantheon of great UFC events? No.
Okay, now also something I wanted to get into was the cancellation of the Strikeforce card that I believe was coming up this weekend. Their main event the main event was scrapped because of injury. So you go into, at this point, Showtime says there's nothing left from that card that we want to show. We're canceling it. We're not going to show it. So Scott Coker, the CEO of Strikeforce, just canceled the entire fight. Now, this is becoming more and more prevalent in MMA. So where do you see this injury bug? I mean, what's going on exactly?
Well, I mean, the injury bug is the injury bug. I think you got guys who are training. I think we just had a spectacularly bad set of luck this year. You know, guys have been getting injured since, you know, MMA started. It's not going to be – that's not going to change, especially if guys are training as hard as they do, trying to be elite fighters, trying to match up to the guys that keep evolving, like John Jones, for example. I don't really see a good solution other than, less events. But with Strikeforce, you don't really have that issue because – I mean, they've only put on so few events recently, which is part of the whole problem with Strikeforce canceling event at all. These guys are only fighting once or twice a year, and these guys aren't getting paid. In the UFC, you have too many events. In the Strikeforce, you don't have enough, and then what you have in Strikeforce is just not enough talent to have a premium cable show.
Yeah, to piece something out of it. Like, at least UFC, you can kind of scrap something together, so.
Yeah, I think the situation is that the two-company system they currently have is not working. They need probably less events and they just need to scrap Strikeforce. It really would be the obvious play, but if you're not going to scrap Strikeforce, then figure out a way to make it with a Fox deal. They probably can't do it, but figure out a way to get UFC fighters on Showtime, on Strikeforce.
Yeah. Now they were going to do that. Frank Mir was going to fight Daniel Cormier, and now that fight's scrapped because Frank Mir's injured. So it's just hitting everywhere.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I mean, I can only imagine what goes through Dana White's head at any given point. And Joe Silva, you know, everybody's just getting hurt. I think it's just, I'm not enough of an elite athlete to know what they go through. I'm not that I'm saying I'm an elite athlete in any capacity. But
I am,
you know, but these guys must be just training too hard. I think this is just not a simple problem. There's just too many factors right now to say there's one blanket solution for this thing. I think guys need to train probably less and need fewer fights. Because you don't see the champions getting injured so much.
That's true.
You know, with the exception of Gilbert Melendez.
Or GSP.
Or GSP, but yeah. GSP's had problems, though.
Yeah,
he's been injured for the last 3 years. I mean, he's fought, what, 2 or 3 times in the last 3 years, maybe?
Probably. Not much. Now, one thing, what I want to play, Stefan Bonner was on Inside MMA on Axis TV. And here's just some highlights, and then we'll discuss that, and then we'll get to Amadeus Thorn right after that.
Yeah, remember I was on your show. I was campaigning for a big fight to coach the Ultimate Fighter with Forrest, and my whole thing is I wanted to fight someone with more Twitter followers than me. And Anderson has about 50 times the amount of Twitter followers. So be careful. You might just get what you ask for, and I got it. You know, I was actually out of town in Tampa. I just got word about this fight, and I thought it was a joke. I really didn't believe it. I go from retired, basically, to the biggest fight I could ever imagine. And it's crazy just how life changes. And all of a sudden, my phone's blowing up, and I'm cool again. Yeah, anything could happen in there. That's the beauty of fighting. And, you know, I just got to go in there and do my best. And he is the, you know, greatest striker and most accurate and yada, yada. But really, I mean, I got a good beard, and hopefully he breaks a hand and foot on my head, and I take advantage of him. If I beat Anderson Silva, I could probably get, you know, another big fight for a big payday. But how could I top that? You know, it's been hard enough trying to top the Forrest fight all these years. Imagine being Anderson. How am I going to top that? I mean, that would be the dilemma I would love to have, you know. Do I hang it up and have this perfect storybook ending, or keep fighting and make a bunch of money and be rich? It's no hesitation whatsoever. I love this kind of fight. I'm like a record-setting underdog. I have nothing to lose. I'm in his backyard. There's no pressure on me. You know, if I get my ass kicked by Anderson Silva, hey, there's no shame in that. And if I beat him, I'm going to rule the world. Move over Romney. Move over Obama. American Psycho for president. Do 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 do.
Okay, so I didn't realize the theme. Come on, Oscar. Okay, I was.
Woo, yeah.
Now that's Stefan Bonner. His thoughts. Now, what I found remarkable about that whole interview, it sounded like something you were saying a couple weeks ago when the fight was initially announced. You were saying that there's no shame in losing to Anderson Silva, and this is exactly how Stefan Bonner feels. So this fight is an amazing opportunity for Stefan Bonner. So go ahead. What are your thoughts of that?
It's very reminiscent. So a couple weeks ago, I mean, there's no lose here for him. You know, there's the loss if he does end up losing to Anderson Silva, but he doesn't have any. He lost to Anderson Silva. Who cares? Everybody loses to Anderson Silva. Everybody has lost to Anderson Silva.
So it's really a win-win situation for him. And like we were saying, I think it was last week we were saying, if he happens to win, if he happens to defeat Anderson Silva in Rio de Janeiro, then I'm not sure if he gets out alive.
Then the internet blows up. And he is revered as a god and martyr for the rest of his life.
That is true. that's coming up very soon. I believe it's October 13th that will be coming up. So the next big pay-per-view is UFC 153 coming up. And that was, of course, courtesy of Axis TV and Inside MMA. Great show if you happen to have. It used to be HDNet, now it's Axis TV. So, but now, without further ado, we're going to go to Amadeus. Here's his theme music, and then we'll bring him right on. All right. Good evening. Amadeus Thorn, you are on the show. You're with Dan Dean and Omega Squad. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I can't complain. How are you guys doing tonight?
We are doing well. Now, basically, we brought you on. You have this big charity show coming up. Now, why was this show started. What's the charity for? What are you raising money for? Just give the backstory of this event.
Real quick backstory. A friend of myself, my wife, so his name is Chris Ragu Dragoni. He was diagnosed with lymphoma cancer in April of this year, suffered a heart attack in July, and we were already doing the show for September 29th anyway, so we said, okay, well, you know what, let's benefit Chris. Let's help pay his medical bills. Then on August 11th, he passed away. So now it's, well, what do we want to do? It's like, well, he's got three kids, a 13-year-old girl, a 10-year-old boy, and I think a 7-year-old boy. Well, let's raise the money for them. They can be put towards school or, you know, whatever they need. Funeral expenses, anything. Let's just help them out. He's our big brother. We got to do something for him, and he's gone now, but the family's still around. Let's help him out. And
okay,
that's what we're doing.
So the genesis of it was a fallen friend, and to help out his family that he left behind to raise money for that. And there's a lot going on there, too. There's a 50-50, there's a raffles, there's baskets that you guys are giving away. Just explain some of, like, the side things besides the wrestling that are going on.
Besides the wrestling that are going on, we have gift certificates from Wawa coming in. We have our own T-shirts and things being donated for tickets for future shows. We do have things from When Remembered Photography, Bella Anime Photography. My own family is donating a basket from children's things, magic markers, so on and so forth. And that'll be a silent auction. Just, you know, you put your money into the baskets, and when your name's called, you win. Yay. 50-50 raffles, and we already know how that works.
Yeah, so a lot of stuff going on. Now, before the show even starts, for workers in the business, there's going to be a seminar, and a very special seminar, with a former WWE and ECW superstar. Go into that, the seminar.
Name's Nunzio. Little Guido, people remember from doing the FBI, Full-Blooded Italians. He's doing a seminar from 5:30 to 6:30. It's only $20. To any worker out there who just wants to advance their career a little bit more and wants to learn a little bit more about the big leagues, this is the seminar to come see. He's giving an hour seminar in ring. Half will be theory, the other half will be in ring.
Okay, so definitely a lot. Now, if a worker happens to show up, you said you're not necessarily booked on the show, but you have a chance for the Battle Royal, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, Johnny Sisko, who actually owns the company, he runs the company, he runs Beast, decided to put an offer out there, and he'll make the official offer known at the show. A lot of people aren't happy with the way he's running things, so he feels, well, if you could do so much better, I'm going to have a Battle Royal. And in this Battle Royal, if you win it, then you can run November 17th show. It's yours to run. Do whatever you want with it. So naturally, a bunch of us are going to hop into this, but we don't know like what number it's going to be. It's going to be up to like 30 people.
Okay. So it's a 30-man Battle Royal. Now, what are some of the matches? Because besides this great fundraiser, besides everything that's going on, raising money for the family, there's also a great night of action. So what are some of those matches that are on this card?
Oh, my God, just to begin, the main event alone, Nunzio is going after the Beast Heavyweight Championship, O-Dog. He's fighting him at the main. That's going to be a blockbuster hit in itself. We have, from the 76ers, I don't know if anybody's familiar with basketball or not, but Big Daddy Dr. Ruthless from the 76ers, he'll be in attendance. Ooh. You have Drinking Buddy Johnny Walker looking to finally get back at Harry Sanchez, and Harry Sanchez, of course, looking to destroy Drinking Buddy. That's been going on for quite a long time now, since last spring. There's just so much going on. Demetrius Aaron's in the house, Blitzkrieg, myself.
Blitzkrieg.
It's a lot. Yeah, Baron Viz Blitzkrieg, he travels all over. He's actually from Germany, and he does a lot of work up in the Northeast area.
Okay, so it's a packed card.
That's
yes. So much going on. It's going to be a fantastic night.
That's cool, man.
Now, is the family going to be in attendance for that?
Absolutely. The entire family will be in attendance. All the Dragonis will be there. And everyone from the area, they're mostly all from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So the majority of everybody from the neighborhood will be there. We're looking at least 1,000 people that have already accepted to come to the show. So we'll see what happens. I mean,
that's
if 1,000 people show up, I'll be happy. But, you know, we're expecting 300 to 500. If it happens, better yet.
Now, where is this all taking place?
It's in the Franklinville Skate Center in Franklinville, New Jersey. It's on Delsey Drive, 2608 North Delsey Drive. if you're on Delsey, you're looking at the building, you can't miss it by the Franklinville Inn. There's a Wawa adjacent to that. It's a pizza place across the street. It's just this big blue building. You can't miss it.
Okay. Now, you don't have to answer this because I think you've moved on. Frankly, I think it's not even worth discussing, but I'll bring it up anyway. There's another show. There's another show happening.
I'm glad you're asking this, Dean, because I was going to say something, but I decided not to.
Yeah, but there's another show going on.
I'm not afraid of anything.
Okay, there's another show in Vineland with the title of Slaying the Beast. How do you feel about that, especially when you have such a good cause like what you're doing? And then you have this guy from another promotion doing this, you know, naming it Slaying the Beast and putting on a, you know, another show.
There's been an issue between myself and that gentleman for quite a long time. All in all, shows have been run throughout the past 6-7 years, and I'm not saying I'm a better promoter or a better booker, and I'm not saying he's a better promoter or a better booker, but I will say that I run a better business. There's good business sense, there's bad business sense, and for the son of a bitch to go along and run a show the exact same day, exact same time, and ask if anyone's out there that wants to do a charity, we're only 15 minutes up the street, to me that's a stab in the heart, not the back, but the heart. You're being inconsiderate, unprofessional, and you're spreading rumors and whining and crying. Do yourself a favor. Shut up. Stop talking. It's poor business. When a building is being used, you have to do what you need to do what you need to do. And it's not cutting throats. It's just, dude, the man is dead. Oh, Alex, I'm shutting you down. Well, you know what? I'm sorry to hear that, but the man's dead. We're doing it for his family. You're just going to have to get over it. I'm going to make sure you go out of business. Then waste your money and your time. I'm promoting. And I'm promoting hard. You do what you got to do.
Wow. So, yeah.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, definitely. I know for a fact that Hell in a Cell Talk Radio will be there.
Cool. Absolutely.
We're also going to, I know some of the New Moon Rising wrestling workers will be in attendance to support the show.
Yeah,
and
those guys are great.
It's a really good, it's a really good thing what you're doing. From the time that I heard it, and then I was seeing the Slaying the Beast show, and I was like, what is going on? Just as an, if I didn't know as much about it and I was just a fan, I would still find it preposterous. Mm-hmm. And so,
it is.
Yeah, and thank you for commenting on it, but I don't want that hanging over it, because I really think it's going to be a great day. You have the seminar for workers, you have all the things for the fans. Franklinville Skate Center is a place. Is there anything else you wanted to say? Perhaps a website that people can find tickets or more information?
Best information, if you want to know anything about Beast Pro Wrestling, you can go into youtube.com/Beast Pro Wrestling. You can see what we've done in other venues, which we've, not in the literal sense, but the figurative sense, we tore the house down. Some people say, oh, you destroyed buildings. Not in that sense, we have not. but we have had blockbuster hits. That's what we do. And we also have a website of beastprowrestling.com. Come check us out. You know, it's simple, it's easy, it's to the point, there's nothing extravagant, we're still building our company, we're still building ourselves, and guys like you, and guys like PWI, and guys like New Moon Rising, and Doc Diamond, and all those other allies, thank you. Thank you deeply from the bottom of our hearts, and all we want to do is succeed, like everybody else. Goal is TV in 5 years, and charity shows.
All right. I like I said, I think it's a great cause for a family that's really still dealing with this, because I mean it was just August, so I mean they're still in the grieving process, and you know, so definitely I think the show of support from fans, people that do shows, people that are in the business, I think it's going to be an amazing event, and I cannot wait until Saturday, because I think it's going to be a great day. We'll be there early actually to see the seminar. I do want to cover that. I spoke with you off air about that, and we'll speak a little bit more off air as well. But again, it's 2608 North Delsey Drive. That's in Franklinville, New Jersey. It's the Franklinville Skate Zone. It's going to be a great night of action. It's a family atmosphere. So bring the kids.
Bring the kids on out. It's family fun night. Yes, we're charging $10. oh my God, we're not going to be free like the guy up the street's going to be. They whoop the effing do. It's $10. You get to meet the boys. You get to meet Nunzio. Come on, really?
Exactly. Exactly. And $10, who can't afford that?
I mean, it's exactly. All for charity, and just to have a show up the street and say it's for free, you're being a dick is what you're doing.
Well, if you want to go in that direction, I couldn't agree with you more. I really couldn't.
Thank you.
And I'm hoping he's listening right now. It is.
He might be. He might be.
I will outdo you.
All right.
Nice.
I love it. Competition can be good. In this case, I think he's just a, as Dan said, a dick. Yeah, a dick for attempting to do this. So,
you know what? Sure. Let me ask you a question now. Good business. If I'm running that building every other month, wouldn't you want to run the same building on the opposite months to keep wrestling alive in the neighborhood so we can make more money?
Yeah.
You would think that.
Yeah.
So give a round of applause for that thought. I said, why don't you just do that? That makes sense.
No, my building.
Fuck you.
Oh, man. You know what? Well, now he has a parking lot, I guess. I'm not sure.
That's the same guy.
You know what? This is the same guy, and I'm not trying to really, but this is the same guy that used to run out of a strip club. So take that for what it is. He used to run out of a strip club. Yeah, that dirty one that used to be the Delway.
That just goes to show, huh?
So same guy.
Mm-hmm.
Same guy. So you know, use that information for what you will. But I used to run out of a strip club. Amadeus.
That's the person.
Amadeus, it was certainly a pleasure having you here. You have a great night, and we're going to plug this a little bit more before we go because it's a great event. So you have a great night, sir.
You too. Thank you so much again. I appreciate it deeply.
No problem. You have a great night. Talk more.
See you, Sarah.
Okay, so that was Amadeus Thorne. He's Indy's most hated, but he's one of my friends now. I'm on the record.
You have an event for a specific reason, and you're charging $10, and just to come out, I really couldn't put it any more plainly that you're a huge dick for doing what you're doing.
Like I said, he was out of a strip club and used to at least. Ran out of a strip club in Vineland. The guy, I don't know.
Does he have an email account in Sewell?
Who knows? He actually might, quite frankly. My God, he actually, and you may be onto something here. You may be on
building a desk over there.
Yeah. I'm not going to play that music again, Dan, but... Dan, tonight has been a night. Mia Yim, of course.
9 o'clock start time, sir.
Yeah, you know what? And we got it in the 2 hours, I think.
I think we should do that because it gives me an hour to, you know, live...
That's true.
What is that for?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who are you?
He's the MMA guy. Yeah.
Hey, have we have an update on Frank Cruda?
We have an update. Do we? Or I thought you said we have one.
No, I'm asking if we had an update.
The last I heard from Joe Zanoli was that Frank is recovering well. He's speaking well. He's still in the rehab facility, so... It's kind of like wait and see. So, but he is speaking well.
You catch something like that on time, and you can recover.
Brady that night, because Brady was starting to talk about this last night. Brady and Frank traveled to the CWA show the night before this happened, and Brady.
Yeah.
I'm glad Brady didn't force Frank to go out to the diner that night.
It would have happened there.
It very well might have. So, good foresight. And Brady was like this week. He's like, I'm a jerk. You know, I was mad at Frank and blah, blah. But, you know,
Oh, man, you got him home. Don't feel like a jerk, dude.
Well, he felt like a jerk because he was mad at Frank because he didn't get to go do the thing. So.
I'm sure Frank is not thinking, well, that Brady's an asshole.
He might be. He might be, you know.
You know.
You met Frank. Who are you? You met Frank. So.
Who the hell are you?
Yeah. Did you guys...
Who the hell are you?
did you guys check out Raw this week? Apparently the ending was interesting.
I started to, and I yet to have seen the ending. Meg and I were Twittering together, and right as that was on, I turned off and turned on some Mystery Science Theater 3000 DVDs because I was so angry.
Well, fair enough. How do you feel about CM Punk and Mick Foley? Something going on there. First you, Dan, then Omega.
I like when Foley gets involved, and I still think he's good on TV, and I'm interested to see where that goes.
Okay, how about you, Omega?
Yeah, I mean, it's a new ingredient. I think it's, Foley good. Foley was gave a good promo, and at the end, taking the kick from CM Punk was fun. I'm not sure what interaction Ryback's going to have, hopefully as little as possible.
Minimum.
Yeah, but I don't know. We'll see how that goes. I was fine with that, honestly.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It's like Omega and I were talking about it. It started off great.
Well, here's the thing. The live crowd didn't see any of the backstage stuff where Ryback, where CM Punk attacked Mick Foley and then Ryback was standing there. The live crowd did not see that.
Why?
I don't know. I just thought it was a point to bring up.
Fair point.
Fair point. Fair point indeed. Yes. So, Dan, what do we have next week? I don't even know. Let me check what we have. What do we have?
Joe Zanoli.
Joe! Yeah, Joe Zanoli.
We got Zanoli. It's actually shaping up to be a very interesting interview.
It could be.
Which I'm hoping for, because, don't hold back, man.
If there's one thing you can say about Joe Zanoli, of course, he's the matchmaker for ECW.
Matchmaker, make me a match.
He certainly, at times, does hold back, so hopefully we can get it all out of him.
No, I really want to. I've been talking to him about it, so I really want him to be very honest. We also have somebody who doesn't hold back.
Yes! The return of Atu!
Bless you.
He is, of course, the newest gangsta.
I can't wait to talk to him. His interview is always the best.
He, of course, was on site when the Balls Mahoney and New Jack from RF Video, they had a face-off because there's a lot of heat. He was there. He was in attendance, so he saw it all.
Does New Jack not have heat with?
Yeah, true.
Isn't he mad at everybody?
Yeah, fair point.
I'm serious.
No,
I'm sure now that he's mad at us. I'm sure I'm going to get shot.
He could be. No, we're on Blog Talk Radio. He won't do an interview on Talk Radio. We're fine.
Okay, well, and then I'm sure just because Atu is going to talk about it, that he's going to be mad at Atu now.
No.
He'll be mad at just because he was on the same episode.
And, of course, Atu's involved with the Dreams Project, something that we definitely support here on the South. So we have that. We're going to talk to Atu about the Dreams Project. And, of course, none other than the Nigerian Nightmares will be here to talk about the K-Cup.
Well, are they going to really talk?
Well, we have their translator. The services of their translator, none other than Aaron Ganey, will be here to translate what the Nightmares have to say about... And, of course, Miss Nigeria, Princess, or I'm not sure, Miss Nigeria 2012 will also be... she was last time. Josh Strange, that's her name. She will be... She was upset, actually. At the Valor show, she... You didn't call me by my name once during that interview. So I listened back, and I didn't. I called her Miss Nigeria 2010 the whole time. So,
well, don't do that ever again.
Well, I'm going to call Josh Strange as much as I possibly can.
You really don't want to incite the anger of the Nigerian princess.
No. Didn't she get topless and run around the I forget, the Nigerian rolls match or something?
I hope so. Crazy.
All
right. Can we do that again?
However, I will say with the appearance of the Nigerian Nightmares at the ECWA K-Cup, there is also the possibility for the appearance of a legend in the business, Dan. Who could that be?
I don't know.
Drives up in a caddy or a Capri or something.
Oh, no. You mean the Ford Taurus?
Oh, was it a Ford Taurus? Yeah. The stench of cigar smoke comes running.
What's your reach, kid?
Yeah, first conversation I had with the man.
Yeah, what's your reach? Yeah, no, it was a Ford Taurus. Hey, you know, we're driving now over to ECWA, and we're on a 95 right now. Look at the border.
oh, man. What do we have to look forward to? Is it UFC on fuel this week as well?
UFC on Fuel, main event is Stefan Struve, the Skyscraper versus Damian Ocic.
There you go. So, everyone. Yeah, so we have action with MMA. We have a lot going on. We have this weekend, of course. I'm going to bring that up one more time. At the Franklinville Skate Zone, it's 2608 North Delcy Drive in Franklinville, New Jersey. We're going to have Beast Wrestling. And it's for a good cause. It's only $10. If you're a worker in the business, get there early at 5:30 for this seminar with Nunzio. So it's going to be amazing. Just an amazing event. I'm happy to be a part of it, and I've never been happier.
I'm excited, man.
I've never been happier to give $10 to a company, quite frankly.
What?
I've never been happier to give $10 to a company.
No. I'm sorry. I was reading something at the same...
Well, share it with the class, Dan.
TNA policy to have a massive effect on independent scene.
Oh, my.
A number of independent promotions have sent word that TNA is no longer allowing their contracted... no longer allowing their contracted talents to appear on DVDs of indie events sold by these promotions.
Wait a second, Dan. Wait a second. Let's start over. After this. Okay.
And this is from PWIinsider.com. A number of independent promotions have sent word that TNA is no longer allowing their contracted talents to appear on DVDs of indie events sold by these promotions.
Wow.
PWInsider.com is working on confirming that with TNA. Since 2004, TNA has had a policy, has been the sales of DVDs featuring their talent was okay as long as the independent promotion was selling it directly themselves and it was not for sale by a third-party vendor. For example, ECWA Wrestling could sell DVDs featuring TNA talents on ECWA's website at their events, but not through Best Buy or Amazon.
Okay.
PWI Insider has contacted TNA for a comment, but does not expect one this evening. So we will keep you updated on that situation. That'll be a problem.
That could be. Well, that's basically what happened to Tony Nese. They had a policy in place where he could appear on iPay-per-views. And, of course, the match with the Great Muta came along, and then Tony, when we had Tony on, he explained it quite well. You know, they were holding him back, and he was only on a pay-per-appearance contract anyway, and he said, look, I need to get out of this.
Yeah, bullcrap.
Well, it is.
I mean, you're only hurting the business that way.
Robbie E., who is around all the time on Independence, well, there goes that.
Not for nothing, you're not big enough like to do that. You're not the WWE, as crappy as their content is right now. You're not the WWE. You shouldn't be able to do that. Well, you can't be on a...
How do you feel, Omega?
Well, I mean, it's not good for the independents, but they are protecting their talent. I mean, I understand it from a corporate.
They don't need any more protection.
whether they need it or not is quite frankly irrelevant. I mean, they're gonna protect it. You know, whether or not they're actually losing anything by their talent appearing on independent DVDs, I don't think they are. I'm in complete agreement. It's unnecessary, but from a broader perspective, it's unnecessary. But I understand what they're trying to accomplish. They don't need to do it. This isn't WWE. This isn't.
I mean, if
you know,
if you're saturating the market with your own shit, and you have nothing to fall back on, like what about the future of wrestling?
Yeah.
You know, if the companies can't release matches, and, well, you know, don't book your TNA stars as the main event then. Fuck it.
Yeah.
That's bullcrap.
I think it holds back. It's certainly going to have a negative event for people that do use those guys.
Well, I think it also hurts the TNA talent. I mean, back when they stopped letting them even appear on the like they used to be able to take independent dates, right? Now they can't. They couldn't do that like a few years ago, right? So you couldn't see like
they could as long as it wasn't televised or. On an iPay-per-view, something of that nature. Because Tony Nese was contracted with TNA, technically, when he was working for ECWA. But they don't do iPay-per-views, they don't do things like that. They were just, Tony Nese's match while he was contracted with ECWA was just released on a DVD.
Yeah, so, that's a source of income for the TNA talent that they can't get now. And whether or not it's actually being made up in their TNA contracts, I kind of doubt.
Oh, exactly. Because what they were doing with Tony Nese was they weren't using him, number one. They were blocking him from appearing at PWS, Pro Wrestling Syndicate, to take on Muta, which is a dream match for anybody that's been out there. So he asked for his release, and he seems a lot happier. He's more involved with NYWC now up in New York. He's more involved with ECWA. He's getting around more. So, and he was quite open to the fact that he could, you know, go anyplace else from this. You know, he can if TNA calls, and as long as they're using him, he would like to go back, that sort of thing. So, I don't know what they're trying to do. They're trying to make exclusive contracts when these guys aren't making anything from TNA. I mean, who was the guy that was on food stamps for God's sakes? Remember that story?
Yeah, I remember the story. I forget who it was.
So, I mean, they have guys on food stamps working for them. Amazing. TNA is the Walmart of wrestling. Okay, TNA is the Walmart of wrestling, and then WWE is the penthouse. So, even a guy like Zack Ryder or just a guy that's developmental is making out great compared to these TNA guys. So take that for what it is.
Yeah.
Anything else we got, guys? Any more breaking news, Dan?
Epic.
Oh, Dan.
Follow me at DanLaw83 on Twitter. I'll have more epic things to say. Hashtag woof.
Oh, hashtag woof. Dan, right now I'm going to take us back in time just for a second. I know you love this, and I'm going to play it just for you.
Run outside right now and go, listen to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio! And I want you to scream the whole URL out loud and run back inside before the cops come. If you're sitting at work right now, you're working the night shift, listen to this show, punch somebody in the head and tell them to listen to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
If you have it on your iPod and you're on the bus, just the smack, guy next to you.
Especially if he's a fat son of a gun trying to get on his scooter, just tell him, you better listen to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio or I'm going to pop the tires in your scooter. Tell them that.
Yes, Dan, tell them that.
Tell them that. If you take up my time, I swear to God, you better be listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio or I'm going to pop the tires in your scooters. You can sit there on the corner of the street all night.
There's only one night.
Hold on, I gotta get off the bus.
There's only one night. There's only one night during the week now that I take the bus home. I take the bus to work, but most nights, Slim Burgundy and I, we go to the gym, obviously. So he'll pick me up at work, blah, blah, blah. So only one night a week, I take the bus home. What happened tonight, Dan? Second stop, I hear the sounds beep, beep, beep. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, no. So this healthy-looking fella gets on with the scooter, and, you know, half an hour later, we're moving again. So, and
I have to get on the bus.
That just played through my mind.
I'm so hungry.
Now, this is what I like to say, our closing plugs, Dan. Of course, check out MiaYim.com to keep updated with what Mia's doing in her career, because she's going to Japan pretty soon.
That's exciting.
You can also follow her at MiaYim on Twitter. Also follow our second guest, ECWAProWrestling.com is the best way to follow him.
pretty much.
And look for Breaker Moran on Facebook.
Epic.
Robert Knight, you can find at @RobertKnight_ on Twitter. You can also follow. For more information about either the tryouts or October 27th, you can definitely check out NMRWrestling.com for more information there. Also, Amadeus, what was the website, Dan? Did you happen to catch it?
Beast Pro Wrestling.
BeastProWrestling.com. .com to check out that.
Saturday
is going to be big. Dan, if you can.
2600 Delcy Drive.
2608 North Delcy Drive.
That's what I meant.
So, Dan, I have to say, if there's a way, there's a way. I know you got other things going on, obviously, but.
What time is it?
Bell time is 7:30, my friend.
Maybe.
Okay. Tomorrow, Dan, we're going to take a tour.
I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to tour New Moon Rising Wrestling, the new facilities, say hi to a few folks, get acquainted, have some dinner, some chats.
It's going to be epic.
It's going to be hashtag epic, hashtag boring not.
Omega, can I ask a very quick question?
Sure.
Gay.
Did you happen to check out that interview before you came on with Breaker Morant?
Yes, I did.
Did it happen to get you energized and excited about his eventual return on the 13th of October?
I tell you, I am an energized and excited. And or excited.
You know, the last time I was this excited was when Genesis reunited. I saved my tax money for this ticket.
Oh.
And at Triple Threat.
I saved my 50 cents a day for this, Mr. Tartaglia.
Hey, some people can't half-headed save that much money.
50 cents a day. So you can either sponsor Ndugu in Nigeria, or you could... Or you could go to ECWA once a month.
I was thinking the same thing.
You could.
Do you want to sponsor a child?
Where's Sally Struthers? She should do the next ECWA television commercial.
You could have bought a goat, but no, you had to buy a ticket. You selfish bastard.
I'm just saying, I mean, act fired up. I couldn't even get him to giggle.
Yeah.
With the fired up, backfire. Fire, get it? Yuck, yuck, yuck. Jesus.
No pun intended.
No, what? It backfired. No, because you know what? I'm not getting beat up by another wrestler. All right, forget it.
It has happened. No, yeah. I love Breaker.
And this is the thing. Like, people ride him. And he's a good heel, man. And I'm really looking forward to this match. But if anybody else didn't see him, not looking forward to this match.
I am energized.
I am energized and excited, and I cannot wait to fight Papa Don. There's
Bueller.
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 It was something D-O-O economics.
Yeah.
Voodoo economics.
Okay, so you can... God, it's been a horrible night for me.
Don't be touching people anymore there, Dean.
Yeah, I know. I know.
God, it's been an interesting day. You have no idea.
Omega, people follow you at Omega Squad on Twitter.
Indeed.
Dan Law 83 for Dan.
Until I'm murdered.
And at Folsom County, if that is my real handle.
If that is, in fact, your real name.
Yes. So without further ado, Brady, take us out.
There's a reason why they say not to do this at home.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.